One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy-Taylor.
I'm here and I'm not opening a can of drink.
He's not. He tried before. It didn't work. And also Josh Brown.
All right, fellas. How are you doing?
Hello, chaps. Now, the thing that's doing the rounds in the news at the minute is that Sony have announced they're closing down the PS3, the PSP and the PS Vita stores in a good few months. Now, that still gives you a little bit of time to download some stuff. And they have said that even after the storefronts go down, you'll still have access. You'll still be able to download all your purchases. But straight up, like to kind of put the question out immediately before we get into reminiscing on the systems, do you guys think they'll uphold that like in perpetuity? Like it feels like even that'll go away. Like it seems like if they're closing everything down, it's not going to last very long.
It's a weird move, dude. And I don't know why Sony like hates their back catalog. Like yeah. I think was it Jim Ryan, our good friend and fellow Geordie Jim Ryan, who was talking about how like people don't want to play old games because they look bad and they're old and they're not fun
and it's they like, smell.
Come on, guys. Like, we've got this. You, especially Sony as a company, as the history of PlayStation has such this, it's an amazing back catalog of stuff. Mm. So many excellent games that people might not have played that they could discover. And now they're just like, nah, we're going to take the store off. But if you have things that you've bought, you can still download them, which is like, it's a consolation prize. I'll give you that. It's something.
Because, I mean, do you guys have like a bunch of stuff that is only available digitally on PS3, PSP, PS Vita? That because for me, like because of the stupid way that they did the PS Vita storage, you had to get their own Sony memory card. It was one of the things that killed the Vita back in the day. And if you don't have a 64 gig card, 128 gig card, then you're not going to be able to store your library. At some point, you're going to have to refer to the storefront. And I just don't trust them to keep that up.
Doesn't it have to ping the servers at some point as well? Like if it runs out of power entirely, it's got then got other. You've got to like turn it on and touch PSN in some way.
There's a stupid verification thing at the minute where I went on the Vita store the other night and you've got to set up a temporary password and then they text you it and you use that. But then after you've used the temporary one, it goes back to the regular one again. And then that's only going to last until the storefronts go offline again, which is at the minute, I think it's June.
What they're doing is they're just slowly killing it. Like they've been, the Vita's been in a grave since it came out pretty much. But this, when they're like, oh, well,
screaming.
We're going to stop you being able to... First, they took it off the browser. Then they're like, oh, we're going to stop it entirely. And then give it another year or so. Then they're just going to be, run out of power. Sorry, you can't find the server. I think that one's gone to Skynet now. Sorry, it's just happened. But yeah, the reason why Jim Ryan doesn't like old games is because the cell processor would be too hard to get all those games off PS3 and into the PS4, 5 land. That's why they don't like it, because it's too much work. And imagine that gif of that young girl just like, oh, just goes onto the desk and like just can't do it anymore because they hate the PS3 because it caused so much issues for them and they want to forget it exists. But unfortunately, we're going to lose so many games along the way. And I don't know why they haven't bothered just to, like, throw PlayStation Classics onto...
Well, that's PS4. What I was going to say.
Because like, are they tied to the cell processor in some way as well? Like, were they just stolen ROMs off the internet? How were they made?
The thing is, like, I mean, I guess it's more PlayStation 3 franchises that made their way to Vita, and you got sort of pared down versions. Like, you can get Jak and Daxter, obviously the PlayStation 2 in that case, but you can get some PlayStation big console franchises on the Vita. I don't think that was the case with the PS3, where PS3 games went across. I could be wrong. But I wonder, if I'm just thinking of, like, big brain thinking, is this, they're actually going to prepare, like, PS3, PSP, Vita libraries for PlayStation now? Is that a different way that they could
would like to think... I don't think they're going to do it. I think they might just try and get we're bored for that. Like, why is Metal Gear Solid 4 not natively... why can you not natively play Metal Gear Solid 4
stream it.
To or three or one on PS3, or four, sorry. But you could, like, PS Now, like, kind of works, but come on, Metal Gear Solid 4 has been, like, trapped on the PS3. It should be released everywhere, and so people can play it again and sit and watch that cutscene for an hour and a half.
Well, I think, Josh, you went back through Metal Gear 4, but I think it's streaming only, isn't it, on PlayStation Now?
It's streaming only at the moment, and it streams the worst, understandably, out of all the other Metal Gears, because it's the most intensive, computationally intensive one. And it kind of works, but it's not the way you want to play it, fellas. Like, no. It's just not. If you're playing Metal Gear Solid 4 for the first time on PlayStation Now, you're getting the worst version of that game, more or less. Like, it just doesn't run as it should. It's not as fluid as it should be. And sometimes you could be halfway through a cutscene, you get that warning sign Ben Roy's been talking about, where it threatens to kick you off, and you're like, oh my god, will I have to watch this hour and a half movie again? But yeah, like, games like that, like I was saying, it has such a strong library, all of these classic games, and they're just like, nah, you don't care about those. We'll put them on PlayStation Now, maybe eventually.
They must be aware of what Xbox are doing. Like, they must be aware of how valuable Game Pass is and everything else. Like, it has to be building to something.
Insomniac, right? They're a lovely studio, right? They make lovely games. They love their web slinging. They tease you all the time about Resistance. Why? Where the hell is Resistance 1 and 2, man?
I love your standing for Resistance.
Why is the series that I love the look of Resistance 1 and the trailers and never played it, but I'm actually ordering now because I have a PS3 now, because that's the one.
Vita, right? There's a really good Resistance on the Vita.
Not when the store's going to die. I'm not going to buy physical Vita
games. You've got months to get it, mate. It's not going to go offline until June.
Physical Vita games are like double the price of physical PS3 games and stuff like that. It's just a weird market of hell. But
and dreams. Resistance
1 and 2, they just don't exist, mate. They're gone. You can play Resistance 3 right now on PS Now, but again, like, you don't want to risk it because of the weird, scary message where sometimes your internet flags for a second and then you're done.
Well, this is like a whole wider thing, because if you talk about, like, video game conservation, like, there's so many fan communities and so many modding communities that are keeping certain old games alive. Like, you'll get fan-specific servers for old online games where the official ones shut down, but if you want to play a certain thing online, they'll maintain that. And so, like, Sony's stance is just kind of like, we don't really care that much. We're just knocking this thing offline. Like, because this is their first, slate of online systems. Like, the PS2 could go online, but the PS3 and everything is known for being online, and these storefronts are going to go away. I guess, what are either of your, like, general thoughts on video game conservation or preservation anyway? Maybe conservation was never the right word for that. It's definitely preservation. But yeah, that idea of, like, having these, you know, access points that are slowly going away, like, is it something that you, does any part of you line up with what Jim Ryan used to say? Because I feel like the industry's wrapped back around, especially on the Xbox side, to being like, no, you should respect the legacy that came before. And if anything, you should make it better rather than deny access to it.
It definitely shouldn't. I think, like, Xbox is an anomaly in this space. You know, Sony and Nintendo are both, like, care more about repackaging their older games and selling you them as new rather than preserving them in their original form, you know? And I think we kind of see that across the board as well with remasters and remakes, which, you know, they're not intentionally made to replace what came before. But by sheer virtue of those older games, those original games being more difficult to come by and more inaccessible, like, it's difficult if you want to play the original of Resident Evil 2, for instance. Like, you need to go back, you need to buy the specific console, you need to track down a secondhand game. Otherwise, you're just going to pick Resident Evil 2 Remake, where you can get that anywhere, play it on a toaster, whatever, you know what I mean? It all works. Just generally speaking, like, there's never been anything really in place to preserve games in their original forms and make them accessible to a future audience. Like, it's just there for collectors at the moment, and even they're kind of, like, getting pushed out to an extent. So, you know, I want, going forward, to see people embrace what Microsoft's doing, but you get news stories like this, and it's just clear that we're not in a space where that's happening. And if it does start to happen, it almost feels like, you know, when Sony does something that is pro, you know, supporting backwards compatibility or supporting their legacy of titles, it always feels like they're doing it just, like, through gritted teeth, like they resent doing it, and they're kicking and screaming, and they're like, passive aggressive, and they're like, well, all right, we'll do it because we have to do it, but we're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to enjoy this. You know what I mean? You're going to play it in the laggiest way possible.
But it's still like it's the most. It's still the most insane thing that they've never done a monthly PlayStation subscription service. Like, that they could, I mean, they could rotate titles through it. You could tap back into all old school PS1, PS2 gems that we missed. Like, that's an obvious open goal.
even the PlayStation Classic was half-assed, and I bought full price, and I was like, it just could have been better. They could have added more games, more iconic games that were more integral to PlayStation. I know there's a lot of rights issues that go into it, but even when it was coming out, like, it didn't have much hype around it, and Sony was just kind of like, here's the thing, if you want it, you can have it, we don't really care.
And it got Final Fantasy on it, but it's the worst version of that game. It's kind of got Metal Gear on it, but it barely holds a frame rate, like, just barely put together.
It's all down to I keep saying I'm gonna be that crazy man until I die. It's the cell processors that they don't want to say sorry, it's hard. We don't want to do it, or we don't want to put that extra bit of money into it. And then you've got that other layer of licensed games. Like if you want to play the Sopranos game, you're never gonna get that upscaled. You're only gonna ever have that on a disc. If you want to play like the Thing game, like that's never gonna be brought upwards. And it's the same with like Xbox as well. I think there's like a bunch of licensed stuff there that's never gonna go forward. Like you're gonna have to just have
brute force trapped on the original Xbox.
You're just gonna have to have the original sort of disc and things like that. Like it's just, and there's other games that don't make a lot that, or that made a lot of splash, and I'd say they did something for the industry, but I'd say Spec Ops alone, that a lot of people are never going to push that forward. Or like, hey, you can get it now on PlayStation 5. Like some things like that are just gonna be trapped in this weird like stasis forever. I feel like backwards compatibility is important, right? But it should never be at the forefront. Like for ages, Xbox did that because they had nothing last gen, right? They had Dead Rising 3, and then
Rise, Son of Rome,
and then after that, they didn't bother putting another game out for 100 years. So they still only have one game out on Xbox Series XS. Yeah,
I'll fly the flag for Ori any day of the week, mate. Don't you worry about
it. What's that? Sorry, Ori, never heard of her.
I think he said Gears 5. But yeah, it's weird that they're just leaving a lot of these in the bin, and they will never say anything because corporations, but you just want to wonder, like, could you just...
Well, I guess...
The reason why backwards compatibility worked on PS3, right, is they stuck a PS2 into a PS3. That's why it worked.
But then they removed it. Like, I mean, you can only get the PS3 that plays older games is only the first couple of years models that were on release, and then they got rid of it. And it's just like, I wonder if there is a sheer brass tacks reality to how much, like you said, money it costs to make these games available versus the reality of how many people would still buy them. But I think the solution for that is just putting them on a monthly service. I think a lot of people would pay for a monthly PlayStation service, whether it had like a core body of titles and you just rotated everything else in.
They do already with PS Now, but a lot of the problem is, again, like you have to stream all the PS3 stuff.
That's what I mean. Like, I guess I mean like a dedicated PlayStation exclusive thing, and then you sort of like, yeah, you think, don't, yeah, you don't have the streaming, you have a more robust offering for it, kind of like Game Pass. You have, you know, you take advantage of all the ecosystem stuff.
I was thinking about if they ever did their own version of Game Pass and we eventually got, say, like the Last of Us Part 3 on there, like day one, would you even buy a game again at that point? What, like Xbox, you don't buy the exclusives, you wouldn't be buying PlayStation exclusives. Buying a game would be like a once, like, you know, every few months sort of
like a collector's edition or something.
Yeah, it's just, it'd be a weird point where you wouldn't be paying for the game. I would just have so much more money.
Well, that's like the big sort of gambit that like Xbox are throwing down. Like this idea that maybe paying for games is the thing that needs to feel archaic because they want you to like commit to the subscription service. But I don't know if that's the way the industry is going to go yet. Obviously, that's the way Xbox thinks it's going to go. We should touch on some specific PS3 stuff because we talked about the games that made us get the system in the first place. Josh, what was the, because me and Ben Wright both have our games down. Josh, what was your, what was the reason you got a PlayStation 3? Do you remember?
I imagine it's the same as one of you two in this chat, but it was MGS4. Like that was the game I was just after for years, because I had an Xbox 360 for that entire generation, more or less. And I only got a PlayStation 3 right at the tail end because my sister got it. I badgered her into getting one for Christmas because I couldn't get one because I wanted some other games. And it was for MGS4. And I was just like, I wanted to see the end of that series. And I read everything about it. I remember once, where in an official PlayStation or maybe even an official Xbox magazine, there was this one line in a write-up about MGS4 or MGS in general that teased that it might come to the Xbox. And I literally ran downstairs and told my mum and dad that it might be happening. Right. And they were like, I don't care. What? What's that? What's that game? And I was like, no, it might be coming. I might be able to finally play it. But I got it for that. But then obviously went back and played everything I missed. Like I played Resistance, which I know Ben Roy loves, and Killzone. Like my mate, my best friend at the time, like he had a PlayStation 3, so I'd always go around his and experiencing it kind of like second hand, or I guess from like a bit of a distance. We played through like Resistance, we played through Killzone, all of those multiplayer shooter co-op games.
And I really loved going back through those when I got the PlayStation 3 as well, that's, like single player.
That's such an interesting thing, the idea that like, the PS3 was the system that your friend had, because like I think all of us had 360s, but Benroy, you said your mate had a PS3 first, like you experienced Uncharted through them.
Yeah, and also I watched Metal Gear at his and stuff like that. I've still to this point never actually physically played Metal Gear Solid 4. I've just only ever watched it because, like, you know, you can get away with that, to be fair. But the one reason why I finally got a PS3, it was sometime in 2010, and it was good old Heavy Rain. I was like, oh my god, this is the future of humanity. I need this game.
It did feel like a big event game at the time.
Yeah, and it's weird because I finally have a fat PS3 now, but it was like the slim version of the PS3 then, which I subsequently sold in university because, you know, it's just like, I don't need it anymore. I've got a 360. I'm barely playing games at the moment. Why not just get rid of it? But it was just, I just needed to play it, man. I just kept seeing videos of it. And it's like, this is it. This is, we get a peak again. When I thought that the GoldenEye was the peak of graphics back in the N64, like, but yeah, playing Heavy Rain for the first time and just going through that and just being blown away, and then for some reason being an idiot and then not getting Killzone, getting Killzone 2, getting Uncharted 2, not 1. And well, yeah, my history of Uncharted 2, Uncharted is weird, right? I played Uncharted 2, then 4, then 1, then Lost Legacy. I've still not played Uncharted 3.
Oh god, okay. There's so many little podcast confessions. Like Metal Gear 4 and Uncharted 3 you should play both those games, although I totally don't rate Uncharted 3, but
they're on the track, right? But Heavy Rain was nothing like that was on Xbox, right? And I think there was the whole, because it was all like sort of like
no, Halo's, it's very like, yeah, very David Cage's mind.
Like Dead Rising was the thing, is like, oh my god, I need an Xbox. I need the, and look how many zombies are on. I need an Xbox. But then, and I had to choose, and my mum was like, well, the PS3 is like £100 more. So, you know, if you want something this Christmas.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Do you think that's the thing, though? Like, do you think it's crazy that, like, considering the momentum the PS2 had, and it's still the highest selling console of all time, that nearly all of us then went to 360 because Sony bungled the launch of the PS3 so much, like, so strongly, like, just getting the price wrong and, like, showing off that stupid footage of Genji, Days of the Blade, the crab, and the massive damage and everything?
A lot of kids also ended up with the 360 without hard drive as well, like I did.
I totally did. To
save up for a bit and get that, like, when you were
120 quid for 120 gigs drive.
I don't know if it was paper around here then, or as I was working in Iceland at that point, but, you know, just trying to save up to get the hard drive as well. But yeah, like, it was heavy rain and still blowing away. It's still over there on my shelf. That's the only PS3 game I owned for ages until now. I'm starting to start another collection up again because I have
Conflict Desert Storm, mate. You've got that there somewhere.
Yeah, it's you know, get all the legends back in, because, you know, why have I got a PS5? I don't know, because my DualSense controller is broken.
I know, it's a hard time. It's a tough time for all. You'll have a new one in 14 days, apparently.
Enough about my life, though. Yeah, and if you two buy Heavy Rain, and did you, like, well, a thing that you considered?
My thing was, like, like you said, the 360 was, like, the console. And but it's weird, because when I think back on it, young me just didn't care about the PS3 initially. Like, I think it was that reception. Because Killzone 2's footage was totally fake. There was that thing that was doing the rounds, like, and when they showed off a literal CG video and pretended it was gameplay, and then they took it back later and said, oh, no, actually, it was a target render and whatever. And so I didn't bother with the PS3 for a while, and then I eventually got it. It was a mix. It was for Metal Gear Solid 4, but I ended up getting it a few months earlier. It was I'd started a new job and it was my first paycheck, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna throw this at something. So I threw it at the PS3.
Can I just jump in and say, like, also the PS3, like, if anyone had it as their main console, you'd have the few kids that had it as their main console that argue it was the best thing ever.
Yep.
But, like, there wasn't party chat on it properly, like, so you couldn't just chat in a menu. I remember, like, when I finally got a PS3, we were playing Killzone 2 online.
Yes,
but we were on Xbox 360 party chat because the chat system in PlayStation was so terrible that you just had to do it vice versa. And I wouldn't imagine having, like, certain friends now because, like, the old party chat days and playing, like, say, just jumping around. But yeah, just to over on that, so much of that stuff was added later. Like, trophies weren't in there at the start either. And just, it was just such a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, it was very much them, like, chasing 360. Like you said, they I've always said, like, they're a reactive company, but they totally put trophies in because achievements worked. It was like, okay, what can we do that'll let us catch up with them? But they did, like, lead with so much hubris in the first place that it completely tanked the system. Like, when you think back on PlayStation, like, PlayStation is a really positively revered brand, but, like, the PS3 is this weird, like, dark spot where they just got everything wrong for pretty much the whole generation. Like, over time, they eventually clawed back sales, but the 360 was dominating for the majority of its lifespan.
You could put a printer in the PS3. There you go. Print things off the PS3.
If you had, like, 8 USB ports if you really need them. But yeah, so I got mine for Metal Gear Solid 4, but it was also for Uncharted as well. I just, like, that was during the cover shooter boom. So, like, seeing that there was a different, like, take on cover shooting that had more sort of a little bit more platforming to it. I got it because of that. But we touched on Heavy Rain. There was also obviously the Infamous series that I feel like Infamous never fully took off, like, nowhere near the heights of something like Ghost of Tsushima for Sucker Punch. But everyone knows of Infamous. But, like, you talk about games that are mostly locked to the system. Infamous hasn't had, like, it had an HD re-release, but on the same system, it hasn't had, like, a full-on, you know, PS4, PS5 upgrade thing. And obviously there's Ratchet and Clank and Killzone. Killzone itself, another sort of, like, PS3 era, like, you know, came before, but tried to take off more during the PS3 era, and then just Sony couldn't make it work. So it's like, okay, we'll put these devs on something else. I guess, like, overall, when you think back on the PS3, do you have, like, positive feelings for it? Because I'm kind of like, oh yeah, that happened, but bleh.
I think it's better in hindsight, you know, like you said, it got off to such a terrible start. You know, they came out with such hubris, assumed they were just going to dominate the market, kind of like how Xbox became in 2013 with the Xbox One. They just repeated all of the exact same mistakes. And, you know, you lump in the fact that it was releasing later, it was releasing at a higher price point. They didn't have the features that Benroy was talking about there. And they didn't really have the exclusives at the time either. They were starting up a lot of new franchises that were then unproven. But I mean, if you looked at the press that something like Infamous was getting compared to Gears of War, like, it was just no contest. Like, it was Gears of War every single day. But at the end of the day, I still think it's a great system because, you know, by the end of it, everything was there that needed to be there. And the staples of the console, like your Uncharted 2, was like The Last of Us, like Heavy Rain.
Whatever. Oh, it ended strong, yeah.
yeah, ended really strong and was ultimately, you know, doing things that I don't think was capable on like the Xbox. Like the Xbox exclusives were still great, but if you compare the late period PS3 exclusives to the late period Xbox 360 exclusives, it just kind of like seems night and day. It felt like they'd finally got to grips with that damn cell processor and finally managed to tap into the potential of it. And then we swiftly moved on, thankfully, to the PlayStation 4. But I think as a console now in its entire history, I do have fond memories of it. I do think there are so many great games that came out for it, but it does stand as this weird spot on PlayStation's otherwise pretty impressive history. And it's just such a fascinating topic to like dive into, because it does have its highs, it has its lows, it has its twists, and it ultimately has a bunch of really strange and interesting games. And some of the most popular franchises now like came from that period.
I was just looking at the CEOs and it was like, Kazurai started the generation, you know, with his maniacal laugh, like, ha ha, you're going to print things off this thing. And it's around like when Jack Trenton came in and just sort of like inserted all this energy into it. And like, as he sort of like bolstered off into the PS4 era, and like, I just remember Jack, like just seeing him sort of like sharp, and it's all sort of changed around him.
Who's that guy that they brought in? And I forget his name, that blonde fake businessman. They got an actor to be a fake businessman. Oh, and he was the guy that, oh my God, he was Ken something, Keith something. And his whole thing there, like that was the one point when they started to sort of like pivot a little bit. And that was like, I would say in history, that's one of the best marketing strategies anyone's ever done. Like just this weird business guy that was fully aware of how like dumb the industry could be. And like kind of half making fun of the audience for having like 50-inch TVs in tiny one-bedroom apartments and being like, that's gaming. And like, you know, chasing digital trophies that aren't real, but totally are.
Oh, but they would be real in PlayStation bloody home. PlayStation home. Remember that? I was like, all your trophies are going to be in PlayStation home. Like, there were some things in the PS3, right? Like, when the PS3 came out, you could have a browser on it. And the idea of like, that was back when like a lot of us, laptops are still like, proper like up there in prices. Some people say, can I have the internet in my room, not the one PC in the corner of the front room where your parents were, or where else did it have? It's just like so many weird things that they just
PlayStation Home, they steered so much into that, yeah,
and then like, they just killed it, like everything else they just go, oh, it's dead now.
I don't think it ever left beta. It was the icon always said PlayStation Home beta or alpha or in progress or whatever, and it never like came into full like fruition or whatever. I did write down, because it's not just the PS3 that's closing out, it's the PSP and the PSV. Now I know that either of you guys ever have PSPs? I know you didn't get Vitas, but
I had a PSP. I didn't have a Vita, but okay. I got a PSP.
Do you fondly remember the PSP?
Ooh, fondly would be, you know, very generous.
I remember getting it initially, and it didn't have a right analog stick, obviously something they fixed on the Vita, but I remember playing, there was a first-person shooter that came out at launch, or near a launch, and you aim with the face buttons, and that was like something that a lot of devs just fell back on, because it was like, well, we still want to do aiming or camera controls, but like that's what I associate with the original PSP, is these awkward control schemes, because it was one set of shoulder buttons and no right analog stick.
For me, I never even played like those shooters on it, because I was just like, it was almost too sad. I was like, if I'm going to play a shooter, I'm going to play it properly. Mm. Like, I played Metal Gear Acid on it, which I thought...
Hell yeah,
like,
you did. I've got that written down.
Wasn't expecting that. Like, I just bought that because it was Metal Gear and I had a PSP and I was like, well, it's going to be good. And it was not what I expected, but I still managed to appreciate it. It was still like a weird, fun experiment. But also, I watched a lot of movies on it. I had a little UMD movie collection. Yep. Took it on school trips. Sometimes we'd like stay overnight somewhere and I watched little movies on it.
Did you do the thing?
It was good crack.
With me and a few of the dudes like back, we were all in, I don't know, year 11 or sixth form, the UK, like high-ranking high school. We were about to leave high school. And we would all gather and we'd all have like used this program called PSP Video 9 to like rip things from DVDs, to rip like specific scenes. But, oh, lads, I've just ripped like the lobby scene from The Matrix. I've just ripped like, oh, this fight scene from this movie. I've got it on my PSP, lads. And like you would just sort of sit around and all like this guy, oh, you got it, oh yeah, watch it, oh yeah, I've got this scene. Pointless. They're just sort of, you've got the movie at home. Like I remember buying, like I bought Akira on proper UMD, like that one disc format that they launched for the PSP, and it never went anywhere or got used anywhere else. But there was a weird little like video community thing for the PSP, just being like, oh my God, it's video on the move, like way before the smartphone boom.
I had a portable DVD player, so it just didn't, like, it just didn't like occur to me that I needed it. Like. The idea of buying everything again like a UMD, but yeah, the PSP was also always something I thought looked cool, but on the periphery, like I just didn't need it.
Yeah, I think I got it because, yeah, like I said, look, I didn't get it at launch. It was very shortly after, but it was one of those things that I just like looked like the look of the tech and with its weird nubbin analog stick that in reality was just terrible. And then the Vita improved on stuff. But to run down some PSP games, because I thought it's worth just highlighting these games because I think all of these are still totally recommendable today. And if you're going to make the most of going on these storefronts to get stuff, you've only got a few months to pick them up. So both God of Wars that are on PSP, Chains of Olympus and Son of Sparta, they're both brilliant. They still both totally hold up. I'm playing through Son of Sparta now. Daxter is on PSP, also by Ready at Dawn. Like literally the spin-off from Jack and Daxter, but you just play as Daxter, and really solid platformer. Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core, more like action-based Final Fantasy, kind of a spiritual prequel to where they would go with the remake in terms of like, you know, you're controlling like Zack directly and it's more like an active combat thing. Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, one of the only games that got a PS3 release over time as part of the Metal Gear HD collection, but Peace Walker is a great little handheld game. I forgot about the GTAs, like Liberty City Stories and Vice City Stories. Did you guys play them?
Yeah, that they were big in my school. That's like, they're the games that we were playing on like trips. So if we went around a friend's house, we were swapping PSPs with Liberty City Stories and stuff.
GTA 4 took the series online, my first experience of multiplayer GTA was in Liberty City Stories because you could do local multiplayer. Like someone next to you, we used to play that like in our little dorm room sick form thing and with everybody with their PSPs in Liberty City Stories. It's like, that should be commended for like making that step. Like, Benroy, did you say you've at least heard of these other stories?
So PS2 was when I played them games because they came eventually. I'm pretty sure they came to PS2 and just played them there again. And where else was you saying? Like, I played Peace Walker in bits, which is basically just Metal Gear 4.3, where it's like, you know, five light sort of thing.
Well, it had all the whole Fulton recovery system. Like, it's like Pokemon, but with soldiers. Like, that's what Metal Gear 5 would do better, but like, it's totally that.
But I've touched Peace Walker and I still haven't played it fully. Like, and I played the one, I think Vice City Stories is what I played.
They were really good. Like, I mean, all the stuff in Vice City Stories with Vic Vance, like playing as Lance's brother and like amassing like property, like in the Empire business. Like, I think that stuff was great. I think they could have fleshed that stuff out way more in the bigger games. First multiplayer GTA was those ones. Chinatown Wars made its way to PSP later in 2009. Killzone Liberation, totally different take on Killzone, where it's like top down and you're running through like a top down like sort of strategy space rather than being a first person shooter. Metal Gear Acid, which is we should have said before, is a card based Metal Gear where you're playing cards to use like the FAMAS rifle or to use a grenade or to like, you move around in a grid thing. I think, do you remember it better than me? I kind of remember.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure you move around on cards as well. It's definitely possibly in a grid thing.
Move plus three.
One. Was it the second one that was cell shaded?
Yes.
One was cell shaded.
I've had both of them as well. It's just like, it's so long ago, but like, yeah, it was all like, you had like a deck of like movement cards and I'm going to play the cardboard box card and I'm going to hide over here. Like, it was a whole thing. And the final one I've got down for the PSP, I'm probably missing some, but this was just sort of like the cream of the crop type stuff. And was Pursuit Force, which I mentioned in some chatty face a little while ago, but that was like a third person shooter, like a very hybridized thing of like driving a kind of weak third person shooter, but that would be the bits you would do in between. And you could jack cars, you could jump in between them to steal different rides and stuff, kind of like what Uncharted would do later in 2 and especially in 4, where you're just like taking over other vehicles, like, you know, trying to get to some target or whatever. Very arcadey, but like very solid. And just to very super quickly like run down the Vita stuff, I know that literally 6 people own a PS Vita, but there's stuff on here, lads. There's stuff on here that you need to know about. I just
it's all gonna be dead soon.
Well, exactly. It's going to be dead. And look, if I'm reading the eulogy, then all these things are on there. So Uncharted Golden Abyss, brilliant Uncharted game made for, it's set before Uncharted 1, but you've got all the control, like tightness of Uncharted 2 and 3. Resistance Burning Skies, arguably the best Resistance game. Again, available to all 6 of us. Persona 4 Golden, better version of Persona 4, only on Vita. Killzone Mercenary, brilliant tight Killzone game with lots of really cool little mechanics in regards to like sending out remote drones and different abilities and stuff. Wipeout 2048, Tearaway, made by Media Molecule, taking full advantage of all the little bits and pieces you could do on the Vita, like the touchpad on the back that was completely pointless, but it worked in that game. And Unit 13, a game made by, the last game made by Zipper, the guys that made SOCOM, which is like, yeah, that was like their weird swan song where it's like, it's a very mission-based thing. What are you thinking?
We didn't mention the PlayStation 3 outage, that what killed them, because SOCOM came out, and SOCOM came out and then they just didn't sell anything and then just failed and fell apart.
Let's wrap back around to that, because that was like very much what a lot of people associate with the PS3, like in terms of like negative like news stories and stuff. But yeah, to round out the Vita stuff, it's Unit 13, Last Game by Zipper, totally solid third-person shooter, stealth-based thing, plays like SOCOM, tactics-based thing, but it's very mission-based. And Shinobido 2, which was the sequel to the, obviously, Shinobido, which is the spin-off series by the original Tenchu developers. So if you always like Tenchu, Shinobido is like a very, it's like one of the best 6 out of 10 games ever, but it's just that dev team going like, we don't have the Tenchu name anymore because I think it belongs to From Software. So they did Shinobido instead. And Shinobido 2 was on the Vita. But yeah, to bring all those games, brilliant. Vita, make that, you know, fan base 7 people by the end of this podcast. You never know. We'll have to see how we go. But in terms of bringing it back to what people associate with the PS3, that insane 2011 PSN outage, that was the first thing everybody said in the office when we started talking about PS3 stuff. But yeah, did you guys get free games from it? Because I claimed extra copies of Infamous from that.
Infamous and what's that top-down zombie shooting game, the twin stick one? Dead Nation.
Dead Nation.
But for some reason, my trophies for that never, I was looking back for it, like, I swear I played them. I did play them, but they're not on my list of like games I've ever played. So something weird happened there. But yeah, like I brought my PS3 to uni and then it was just like, well, it's not working. I just can't use it. Just sitting there. So I'm going to play Worms on the Xbox 360 instead.
Mm-hmm. Obviously of all the marketing moves that they did that went wrong, obviously that one was a whole bunch of hackers just getting involved and sort of just like, they were offline for months across 2011. Mm.
Yeah, it was listening to certain IGN podcasts and just hearing them update each week, just like, we don't know what's going on. They're not talking to us and they're on fire. Just you couldn't imagine Xbox Live being down for that long back then.
Like, well, it's the Cyberpunk 2077 of its day, like just not around. I mean, we're over 100 days for Cyberpunk not being on the PlayStation Store. But Josh, what's your thoughts towards this insane outage? Were you a heavy PS3 user back then?
I wasn't directly impacted, but I remember, like I said, I had a best mate who was just well into his PlayStation, and he was just, every day was just sadness for that man, as he couldn't get
all
back
those
on.
Chat features he couldn't get on.
Yeah, I just remember it being like such a big thing. I think I was still at school. I might have been in year 11 at the time or something, probably was. And yeah, it was just like, everyone was just kind of like, well, what's going on? Like, we didn't know. We didn't like, if you don't follow like those circles, you just kind of have no idea what's happening. Like it was big enough to obviously make big kind of like regular news, not just gaming news, but at the same time, everyone was just sort of like, what's going on? How has this happened? Why? Like, it's just a thing that shouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I feel like it's been a thing that's just never gone away. Like even now, like people talk about it. We're talking about it right now. You know what I mean? It's such a big part of the PlayStation 3's history and PSN's history, I guess, and just like how that changed going into the PlayStation 4 and the security that Sony had to kind of like claw back in confidence.
That was one of the biggest takeaways. Like, I'm sure there was like, I forget the name of the hacker group that took responsibility for it, but they pointed out that like the infrastructure of the PSN was like threadbare, that it needed so much work doing to it. Like, so it had a net positive eventually, but it resulted in so much damage initially. But yeah, their overall mission was to prove how
23 days it was dead for.
Oh, I thought it was months. I guess because I was younger, it felt like months, but that's still almost a whole month of being down. But then they did offer like a whole bunch. They offered a slate of games as an apology. I remember Infamous being the biggest one that was on there. Because like you said, Dead Nation was just like a kind of relatively unknown top-down shooter.
Again, I couldn't imagine Xbox Live being down for that long because it's. I think this is one of the reasons why I just sold my PS3 to a housemate that you can have it if you want. The whole thing being death, like Xbox used to go down sometimes back in the day, like for like an afternoon, and that would be the end of the world. Like, how am I going to play Gears? But pretty much a month, and then Sony doing the Sony thing and sort of like skirting around it and sort of like just like ignoring it. Like now you'd imagine if that happened, like, is it going to ever come back in the way they just like to lop things off?
Well, they were still, the way they generally operated, they were still sort of like wacky old Sony doing whatever they want. Like a lot of their presence and a lot of their Western adverts was just like weird, nonsensical, surrealist stuff. Like there was that advert with all the different characters in the hotel. It was like a strange, I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was like a weird, like half Cluedo. Some people know what I mean. They used to play it in cinemas back then. But like, you know, reminiscent of like the PS1 advert with that girl that had the like different looking eyes or whatever. It was like, oh, we're going to like use her as the focal point for an advert because, oh, it's a bit creepy. And like that was kind of their whole ethos back then. That I feel like they eventually started to move away from in the PS4. And obviously now they're way more of a global brand. They're like a band that they're shutting down Sony Japan and moving away from it and everything. We should end on a positive for the PS3, though. I love and cherish and miss every day custom themes, because you could go to a website and you could download custom themes that anyone could make, and they could customize the buttons, they could customize the background, the sounds and everything. And it was like almost an offshoot, almost like a byproduct of how hands-off Sony were. Some part of their firmware could be altered that way, where you could just mod your entire dashboard to, like, you know, theme it around whatever game you want. And it would be some of the best themes in PlayStation history were fan-made. And I forget the name of the websites that they were on, PlayStation Universe, maybe. Or theme universe. But yeah, do you guys have any like sort of random little positives to end on, things like that?
The fact that online was free was just something I couldn't wrap my head around at first. Like when PS Plus was first introduced, it was for those free games. Like you didn't have to pay to get online like you did with Xbox Live. And I just remember being so jealous of how easy it was for my mates to get on, because I didn't get online generally until way late. Like we were using this like dial-up dongle for ages. We didn't get broadband, man, until like after Call of Duty 4. So I was always playing Call of Duty 4 around someone else's house.
I got
it in time for Modern Warfare 2. But after that, I was like, what? So I need a broadband connection, and I also need to pay for Xbox Live. This is a big scam. So the idea that PlayStation 3 had this landscape where anyone could just jump on, you didn't have to pay to get in, was like, it's again, in this era that we're in now, where even Nintendo is moving towards a kind of like monthly subscription thing, it just feels like an anomaly. It feels like something that shouldn't have happened. And obviously now you can't play online.
I feel like they knew it wasn't a premium online service. Like obviously it led to the PSN outage or whatever, but I feel like the PlayStation Network stability wasn't as highly regarded as Xbox Live. No. Like it's still not today because of things like the PSN outage. But even when it was like fully functioning and it was totally free, like you said, like that was a good introductory thing, but I feel like it went downloads or it was laggy or whatever. And it was like, well, it's free, so what are you going to do? But I feel like if they had charged for it in that, even in that state, it still would have been like negatively received.
Just for a, you know, for a dumb kid with no money, I was like, spending $5.99 a month just to play online when I could have it for free. But it wasn't enough to make me jump over.
Yeah, I remember Metal Gear Solid, like subsistence, like playing that online is like one of the only things I ever played online on the PS3. Benroy, what's your positive PS3 memoir?
I'm going to say I had a really good Heavy Rain custom theme, but I think I paid for that one.
Okay.
But apart from that, Heavy Rain.
Do you remember balancing Nathan Drake using the six-axis controller?
I have one of these here. I'm afraid I might break it if I sneeze. But I'm going to make some memories now that I've got one again, and I'm going to play some nice games right now. But apart from that, I'm just going to say Heavy Rain again until this podcast.
Tell you what, that's the thing that always speaks volumes, that like, you had to go back and get another PS3, that there's not a way to experience those games like natively. Like you've got to actually seek out an ancient breadbox PS3 to play those classics.
It was a challenge, but I finally found one that someone wasn't trying to scam me with. So, you know, it happened now.
It all worked out in the end. So yes, let us know your own PlayStation 3 memories, PSP memories, PS Vita memories down in the comments below. Do you remember the PlayStation 3 fondly, or does it feel also like this weird dark spot where this is the PS3 banter era, the PS3 attitude era that we all sort of got through across the 2000s? For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Benroy Turner.
The six-axis is really just like a toy, isn't it?
Just a little bit. And Josh Brown.
Now the sixth axis rocks, and that's my final statement.
That's
good
absolute
crack.
Insanity. DualShock rules. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.